на пинг-понг.
This is about people's lives. We ask you, make a decision faster. Don't shift responsibility. Send us the fighter jets.
Ukraine pleads for more weapons. It's Friday, March 11th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Chris Cascale in Washington. Find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, new South Korean president, U.S.-Taiwan-China relations, Australia announces more sanctions, countering extremism in the U.S., relief efforts for Ukraine. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Ukrainians plead for more weapons to defend their country from attacks 2 weeks after Russian forces invaded Ukraine. VOA's Pentagon correspondent Carla Babb has the latest.
Not even hospitals are safe from airstrikes in Ukraine. This was a children's hospital in the southern port city of Mariupol, the bomb leaving a crater several meters deep. Russian forces surround the city, and rights groups say siege tactics there have left residents without running water or electricity for days. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken.
And Russia's relentless bombardment, including of civilians trying to flee, prevents people from safely escaping the hellish conditions that they've created.
U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris flew to Poland, where the Pentagon just sent two Patriot missile batteries to defend the NATO ally. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has asked allies to establish a no-fly zone and provide more of the Russian-made fighter jets its military uses to protect citizens from Russian attacks.
This is about people's lives. We ask you, make a decision faster. Don't shift responsibility. Send us the fighter jets.
The U.S. rejected a surprise offer from NATO ally Poland to send all of their MiG-29s to a U.S. base in Germany, calling it, quote, high risk for U.S. pilots to transport them to Ukraine. Pentagon Press Secretary John Kirby.
We need to be careful about every decision we make. That we aren't making the potential for escalation worse.
U.S. officials say they will continue to consult with their Polish counterparts as the United States sends hundreds of millions of dollars in aid and weapons to Ukraine. While the Pentagon has said adding aircraft isn't the most effective way to help defend Ukraine's skies, the U.S. has sent Stinger anti-aircraft systems like this one. And the U.K. now says it will provide surface-to-air defense systems to Ukraine. British Foreign Secretary Elizabeth Truss.
So we believe that the best way of tackling this threat is to help the Ukrainians with the Starstreak air defense systems that we will be supplying.
2 weeks into the war, many Ukrainians are sheltering underground, hoping their country's defenses will be enough to keep them alive. Carla Babb, VOA News, The Pentagon.
Read more on our top story by following our Twitter stream at VOA Asia. We're also on Facebook, VOA Asia, and the VOAnews.com website. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on VOAnews.com. North Korea hints at bigger provocations as South Korea elects new president. What can the U.S. expect from South Korea's new president? U.S. congratulates South Korea's president-elect on win. Kyrgyzstan suspends TV station, arrests director for Russia comments. ICE claimed suicide blast inflicts heavy casualties on Pakistan security forces. Find complete coverage on all these stories on Facebook at VOA Asia, Instagram, Twitter, and on the VOAnews.com website. Thank you for joining us on VOA Asia on this Friday. South Korea's president-elect Yoon Suk-yeol said Thursday he would solidify an alliance with the United States, build up a powerful military, and sternly cope with North Korean provocations. Speaking hours after winning the country's hard-fought election, Yoon, whose single five-year term is set to begin in May, said he would make a boosted alliance with the United States the center of his foreign policy.
당당한 외교와
Based on confident diplomacy and strong security, we will be reborn as a global pivotal country that contributes to freedom, peace, and prosperity. I will rebuild the South Korea-U.S. alliance and will make it a strategic, comprehensive alliance while sharing key values like a liberal democracy, a market economy, and human rights. We will develop a South Korea-China relationship with mutual respect and create a future-oriented South Korea-Japan relationship.
상호 존중에
Some experts say a Yoon government will likely be able to reinforce ties with Washington and improve relations with Tokyo, but can't really avoid frictions with Pyongyang and Beijing. Yoon has, in the past, accused outgoing liberal President Moon Jae-in of tilting toward Pyongyang and Beijing and away from Washington. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un says the country will launch a number of reconnaissance satellites in coming years to provide real-time information on military actions by the United States and its allies, according to a state media report on Thursday. While inspecting North Korea's National Aerospace Development Administration, Kim said a lot of military reconnaissance satellites would be put into sun-synchronous polar orbit in the period of a five-year plan first announced last year, state news agency KCNA reported. Experts say the North appears to be preparing to launch a reconnaissance satellite, a move that may prove as controversial as the nuclear-armed country's weapons tests because they use the same banned ballistic missile technology. North Korea says it conducted two tests of satellite systems on February 27th and March 5th. Authorities in South Korea, Japan, and the United States say the tests involved launches of ballistic missiles. The launches drew international condemnation, and the U.S. military said on Thursday it had increased surveillance and reconnaissance collection in the LOC. Still to come on VOA Asia, assessing U.S.-China-Taiwan relations in the aftermath of Russia invading Ukraine. Happening now in Asia, South Korea's military on Wednesday returned a North Korean boat and its seven crew members across the country's disputed western sea boundary a day after they drifted into waters near a South Korean border island. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues. U.S.-Taiwan-China relations are in renewed focus since Russia's unprovoked invasion of Ukraine. The U.S. sent a delegation to Taiwan last week, led by former chairman of the U.S. Joint Chiefs of Staff Mike Mullen. And former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo also visited Taiwan, where he made waves with his comments that the U.S. should offer diplomatic recognition to Taiwan. Voice of America spoke with two China and Taiwan analysts about these visits and what they mean for U.S.-Taiwan-China relations moving forward. Patricia Kim from the Brookings Institution says China's unwillingness to condemn the Russian invasion and its insistence that its relationship with Moscow remains ironclad even after watching Putin's transgressions in Ukraine have only hardened Washington's misgivings about Beijing's strategic intentions and orientation. Here's David Sachs of the Council on Foreign Relations now.
For U.S.-China relations, I mean, I think that a lot of observers are pretty surprised at how closely China has continued to align itself with Russia, even as the war has unfolded and we've read all of the stories about the atrocities occurring in Ukraine. But really, China has not attempted to distance itself from Russia. And so, you know, given that, I think that the United States will likely try to make China pay a price for its alignment with Russia or work to kind of create some daylight between China and Russia. So I think that's the dynamic at play there.
Patricia Kim says the visit last week, led by Admiral Mullen and a group of former senior officials, was intended to reassure the people of Taiwan and signal to Taipei, Beijing, and the rest of the world the United States' enduring bipartisan support for the island. And the continued Ukrainian resistance to Russia could offer some lessons to Taiwan, David Sachs says.
There are certain lessons that Taiwan needs to learn from that, whether it's creating a really strong reserve force, you know, getting the whole population involved in defense, as well as, you know, the need to stockpile military hardware, munitions, and critical supplies for the civilian population, because The one big difference, of course, between Taiwan and Ukraine is that, you know, Ukraine can continue to be resupplied via land borders with Poland and other European states, but Taiwan is an island. So if a conflict were to start, it would be much more difficult to resupply Taiwan. Therefore, it's very important that Taiwan has all of the supplies that it needs on the island when a conflict starts. So, you know, I think that I would hope that the delegation, which of course was led by a former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, actually was able to get into some of the military issues and some of the questions on preparedness, preparing the civilian population, as well as having a military like Ukraine's that's able to field asymmetric capabilities to really deal with a conventionally superior foe.
Finally, David Sacks says there is no chance the Biden administration will change the longstanding One China policy, calling former Secretary of State Pompeo's comments about offering diplomatic recognition to Taiwan irresponsible.
I think the more interesting question, of course, would be, you know, if Pompeo runs for president in 2024, you know, is that going to be part of his platform? Is that something he's going to continue to promote? And does this become a topic of debate within the Republican Party? Because clearly he has staked out a pretty definitive view on this question, and he obviously has political ambitions. So I think that the more interesting question is, do other Republicans join him in expressing this view?
VOA Asia Facebook is the choice of millions to see and read the latest stories about Asia and the United States. Follow us on VOA Asia Facebook. VOA Asia is also on Twitter and YouTube. Subscribe to all of our platforms for free. See, hear, read, and share all the latest from VOA Asia anytime. VOA Asia is your trusted source for news, information, and great features.
This news alert from VOA Asia. In India, Prime Minister Narendra Modi's party appears set to hold on to power in 4 out of 5 states in key elections that were billed as a midterm test for his party. All the big stories come your way through the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. Welcome back to VOA Asia. The Australian government has imposed another round of sanctions targeting senior Russian military officers, as well as state media outlets spreading pro-Kremlin disinformation. The punitive measures are in response to the invasion of Ukraine. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports for VOA.
The new round of sanctions will ban the export of any Australian goods to companies or state enterprises that supply the Russian military. Australia is targeting 6 high-ranking Russian military commanders, who it believes are responsible for implementing naval ground and air attacks on Ukraine. Canberra has also said it would try to curb Kremlin propaganda. Russian President Vladimir Putin's press secretary, Dmitry Peskov, and other Russian foreign ministry officials, allegedly linked to state media efforts to legitimise the invasion of Ukraine, are also facing penalties. Australian Foreign Minister Maurice Payne said the government recognises the powerful impact that disinformation and propaganda can have in conflict. The move by Australia coincides with an announcement by New Zealand to impose sanctions on Russia, a groundbreaking law enabling New Zealand to freeze the assets of those associated with Russia, has gone before Parliament on Wednesday. Professor Robert Greenberg is an expert in Ukraine from New Zealand's University of Auckland. He says Australia is emboldened to impose tough sanctions on Russia because of its global military alliances.
I think Australia, with that recent agreement with the United States and the UK on the sort of Asia-Pacific stance, is trying to play with the bigger countries more than New Zealand is. The Australian government was much more forthright and came out earlier on the sanctions. Therefore, I do believe Australia is posturing itself as a more significant player in this world stage.
Australia has already imposed sanctions on hundreds of Russian politicians, including President Vladimir Putin and his foreign minister Sergei Lavrov. Canberra has also spent $50 million to buy missiles and ammunition for Ukraine. Australian sanctions are part of a US-led campaign to financially isolate Russia and disrupt its financial institutions. Australian Foreign Minister Maurice Payne said her country and its allies were determined to impose a high price on those responsible for and complicit in Russia's war on Ukraine. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Making headlines in Asia, Hong Kong holds the world's worst death rate for COVID-19, though the worst wave of the coronavirus has peaked, according to health experts. Stay up to date with VOA or listening to VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues. In the United States, the FBI says it has doubled the number of domestic terrorism investigations during the past 18 months. VOA's Jessica Stone spoke to counterterrorism experts who are bringing techniques previously employed overseas to combat a growing problem inside the United States.
Teaching young people in Abyan, Yemen to build walls has also built their sense of identity and community, says Lou Jane Kiki, a program officer with the International Center for Religion and Diplomacy, or ICRD.
So we use this strategy to increase resilience toward violent extremism, especially in communities with vulnerable youth.
Two-thirds of the youth surveyed in Abyan told ICRD the program makes them less likely to join an armed group. A key feature of ICRD's approach is partnering with religious leaders to root out violent extremist ideology before it starts.
Religious leaders, if they have the capacity and awareness and the deep connections with their constituencies, they can detect early warning signs of radicalization.
Now ICRD is bringing the same strategy to houses of worship in eight U.S. cities. James Patton is ICRD's president.
It's very important to identify messengers, key messengers who are seen as having authority and legitimacy, but then they can push back using doctrinal arguments and values-based arguments from their faith tradition to work against the use of violence to solve differences.
Patton says this approach is particularly critical as some right-wing activists use their Christian faith to justify violence as they did during the Capitol Hill riots last January. Experts say the phenomenon is known as Christian nationalism and can mix with white supremacist beliefs like those of the Proud Boys. The goal for these groups is to keep the U.S. a, quote, white Christian nation. The FBI's Timothy Langan.
We assess that racially or ethnically motivated violent extremists advocating for the superiority of the white race and anti-authority or anti-government violent extremists, specifically militia violent extremists, present the most lethal threats.
Counter-terrorism expert Vidya Ramalingam argues that violent extremist ideologies share the same roots.
What it oftentimes comes down to is a need for belonging, a desire to be a part of something that's greater than oneself.
Ramalingam leads the Moonshot Team, a technology startup which redirects those searching for online extremist information towards resources to gain employment and community.
We don't need separate mechanisms to fight jihadism. We don't need separate mechanisms to fight neo-Nazism. Ultimately, what we need here are very similar interventions.
And ICRD's James Patton says results will be clear.
The greatest measure of success for me would be to start seeing some nuanced arguments within identity groups where people say, you know what, just because I believe X doesn't mean I have to advocate for Y.
Both Ramalingam and Patton say it's time for the de-radicalization methods that have worked elsewhere to be deployed inside the United States. Jessica Stone, VOA News, Washington.
This is Science in a Minute.
The International Space Station has long been a symbol of mutual cooperation between partners within its 15-nation organization. However, with tensions raised between Western nations and Russia following Russia's invasion of Ukraine, many have expressed concern about the current and future operations of the space station. Reuters recently reported that Dmitry Rogozin, Director General of the Russian space agency Roscosmos, suggested in a series of Twitter tweets that sanctions imposed by the U.S. could destroy U.S.-Russian teamwork on the International Space Station. NASA Administrator Bill Nelson recently remarked that, quote, NASA continues the working relationship with all our international partners to ensure their safety and the ongoing safe operations of the ISS, end quote. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Finally on VOA Asia, as the Russian invasion of Ukraine intensifies, the Ukrainian-American community of the Washington, D.C. metro area sponsored a donation drive for humanitarian relief and supplies for Ukraine with the help of a local church. VOA's Saqib-u-Islam reports from Silver Spring, Maryland, where hundreds of Ukrainian-Americans got together for a special service and charity bazaar for Ukraine.
Oksana Dnagri couldn't control her emotions while giving a message to her loved ones back home in Ukraine.
Never give up our souls, our hearts with you. So as much as we can help from here, we will do everything.
Dnagri, along with hundreds of other Ukrainian Americans, was attending a special charity bazaar organized by a Ukrainian church outside Washington.
Ukrainians are very, very brave, and we can resist, but we need help.
Joanna Krachenkov has her parents and siblings facing a war in Ukraine. She is selling her art, and her young son is playing violin to generate donations for Ukraine. St. Andrew Ukrainian Orthodox Cathedral in Silver Spring, Maryland has been inviting local Ukrainians to sell their arts, crafts, and baked goods to raise funds for people in Ukraine and refugees who have fled the country. Tamara Warubi is the president of the church council.
So far, we don't have refugees coming here. We are certainly lobbying that the government expedite the possibility of bringing refugees, but that's not really our goal right now because we want people to stay in Ukraine. We don't want people to be leaving en masse. What we are, I think, doing successfully is acting as a liaison between the non-Ukrainian community in the area, in the Washington area, and our parish.
While the U.S. lawmakers are pledging to provide additional military and humanitarian assistance to Kyiv, Ukrainian Americans are also trying to help through donation drives like this. Church has collected hundreds of pounds of supplies and has been holding special church services and prayers for Ukraine ever since the conflict started. Oh, 84-year-old Yaroslava Frashchenko has been protesting Russian aggression since 2014, she says.
It's unimaginable, the feelings of pain and grief that I'm going through with all the suffering, and I am so proud at the same time of being part of Ukrainian nation.
Frashchenko says she is glad that the world is realizing the threat Russia possesses.
Do war for Ukraine.
She later joined the protesters outside the White House, where thousands gathered to demand stricter sanctions against Russia. Saqib-ul-Islam, VOA News, Silver Spring, Maryland.
Read and see more on this story at VOA Asia Facebook. That's all the time we have for today's VOA Asia. Make sure you find us on all our social media platforms. Like us on Facebook, VOA Asia. Follow us on Twitter at VOA Asia. You can also find us on Instagram, YouTube, and at voanews.com. Thanks for joining us, and thanks to our service chief, Diane Gao. Our VOA Asia team includes Jim Stevenson, Keith Lane, and Jessica Stone. I'm Chris Cascao in Washington. Enjoy the day, stay safe, and be well.